Well, friends, I first heard our Bible story of the day when I was, I believe, about a first or second grader. And it was in a Sunday school class. And I heard the story not only read from the Bible, but visualized, illustrated on something called a flannel graph. Anybody remember that? It was a nice piece of felt cloth stretched over a bulletin board, and then there were these Bible characters that had the ability to just stick right on that cloth, and they could be moved around, and that teacher just brought that story to life in such a simple way. I guess technology has progressed a little over the years, right? But this Bible story remains a strong visual story. And so as I read it to you this morning from Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, I want to invite you to close your eyes. Close your eyes, relax, and just listen. Listen to this story and see it as it happened in your mind's eye. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "What is this fellow talking about? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Here ends our gospel reading. Thanks be to God. What I'd like to do today is share with you four gospel takeaways. In other words, gospel means good news, you all know that. Four words of good news that I want you to take with you, to continue to reflect on, to chew on, to let this story speak to you this week, because friends, God is in the business of healing. And the Spirit of God, the Spirit of healing, is in the house today. Here's the first gospel takeaway. Recognize your need for healing and pursue it. See, that's what you can hear that gospel story, and you can say to yourself, "This is something that God wants to teach me out of this story. I need to recognize my need for healing, and I need to be willing to pursue it," like those men were. The man on the stretcher is you. The man on the stretcher is me. The Bible says that we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. In other words, we all need to be healed. We all need to be put back together. We're like Humpty Dumpty. We've fallen off the wall and we can't put ourselves together again. Only Jesus can do it. The week after Easter, Colleen and I went to Arizona, and we connected there with some former members of Christ Church, Don and Lori Longworth. Wonderful friends from years ago here, and they've been down there about 10 years now, and love that weather, and even the 120-degree weather in the summer. I don't know how they do it. I guess they do what we do in the winter, right? They stay inside. But Don was telling us about the church they go to now, and he said they have a sign at the entryway, and on the sign it says, "No perfect people allowed." Maybe that's a sign we should have out here at our entrance, you know, because it really is true. And anybody that thinks they're perfect probably doesn't want to come here, because I think the rest of us know we're not. One person said, the church is a hospital for sinners, not a sanctuary for saints. You could write that one down. That's a quotable quote there, my friends. The church is a hospital for sinners, not a sanctuary for saints. We all need healing. And the Bible teaches that we need it holistically. We need it in body, in soul, and in spirit. Your soul is your mind and your emotions. This man who was paralyzed represents us all. Now, we don't know the details about his life, but Jesus did. That's why he starts with forgiveness. He always goes for the deeper need, the one that releases us to experience his healing in every part of our lives. The psalmist says, of course, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, literally knit together by God in our mother's womb. That's why we hosted a wellness retreat yesterday here at Christ Church. We recognize that to be healthy in any area of our lives, we need to be healthy in every area of our lives, body, soul, and spirit. But I want you to understand, Jesus wasn't just turning this guy into a good sermon illustration or setting him up as the next teachable moment. No, he saw beyond his paralysis to his heart. He saw that his greatest need was for forgiveness. So that's where he began. Don't we know we all have a past? You have a past. I have a past. Some of our past we're glad that nobody in this room knows about, right? We all have a past. Here's the deal. Our past informs our present reality. And it either releases us to the future God intends, or it holds us back. It paralyzes us. It holds us in bondage. Bitter roots lead to bitter fruits. If you've been hurt, if you've been wounded, if you've been torched by sin, either yours or that of someone else, that doesn't just go away unless it's released by the power of the Holy Spirit working in your heart, and in turn you're able to release it in others. What's going on in our hearts and our heads definitely affects our bodies, and that's why so many of us are sick today. Now, I'm not saying there's a one-on-one correlation here. Just because you get a cold doesn't mean you committed a sin the week before. But I mean, look at the evidence. When we hold anger and bitterness and resentment in our life, we get ulcers. We get stressed out. We have heart attacks. We have high blood pressure. I don't have to give you a medical lesson this morning. You know what I'm talking about. We can't get away from the fact that what's going on in our hearts, in our spirits, in our mind, in our emotions affects our bodies. It's why so many of us are sick. We carry stuff from the past, and it can literally paralyze us with fear and manifest itself in 1,000 disabilities. Here's what else it can do. It can cause us to believe lies about ourselves. Lies about who we are as people. Lies about whether or not we could even qualify to be something known as a child of God. The junk we carry around, often for year after year after year, can also cause us to make vows. Sometimes we make vows consciously, sometimes unconsciously. But these vows that we make about how we see the world and how we intend to react to it can keep us from trusting God and can keep us from engaging in honest, meaningful relationships with those around us. For example, a child gets abused. That child may grow up having made a vow, literally to protect themselves from further harm, that they will never again trust another adult. Right? It happens. Somebody gets hurt in a relationship, a dating relationship. They may have such a scar that they carry with them that they will say, I will never quite trust a man again. I will never quite trust a woman again, because if I do, I might get hurt. Now translate that experience to our relationship with God. Well, there was that time I prayed and I didn't think God answered my prayer. God really let me down when I needed Him most. I don't know that I can ever really trust God again. These are the vows that we make, and they can be in their infancy designed to kind of provide a protective coating over life, but in the end they hold us back from getting our healing, from breaking free and being the people and living the life that God intends for us. That's why Jesus always starts with our inner being. We can't experience the physical healing we need until we allow Him to first touch us on the inside at the heart level. Friends, that's why Jesus looked this man lowered through the roof, looked him in the eye, and said to him, "Your sins are forgiven." Are you willing to recognize your need for healing and pursue it? If so, then number two, you must do whatever it takes to get closer to Jesus. You must have a hunger for God, a hunger to know God, to recognize God's presence in your life, to walk with Him every day, to have a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only one who can truly heal you and set you free. He's the only one who can say to you today, rise, get up, take up your mat, and go home. And like that song we sang this morning, isn't it better when we do life God's way? What keeps us from Jesus? What keeps you from doing whatever it takes to get close to Jesus? Well, we know the list. I mean, it's pride, it's self-pity, self-will, self-help, self-sufficiency. A lot of words and phrases that have self in them keep us from Jesus. And as we see in this story, the crowd can keep us from Jesus. That's an illustration that's there in the story. It was the full house. It was people even standing out the door that prevented this man from getting close to Jesus. Did he let that stop him? No. But I'll tell you what, we let the crowd stop us all the time. What might people think? What might people say if we really stand up for Jesus? It can be friends, family, co-workers, our culture, religion. I mean, it can be all of it. It can be the crowd that can keep us from pursuing Jesus with a passion. I met with a man this week who can't fathom being a follower of Christ. You know why? Because for his whole life, his family and all of his friends, he's never been around a crowd that loves Jesus. Nobody in his family is a believer. Never had the opportunity to learn about Jesus. He's never had the opportunity to really experience God's love in his life. His crowd is keeping him from Jesus, and his thought process is, why would I ever want to trust God and trust Jesus as my Savior when I haven't seen anybody else in my family or my circle of friends ever do it before? You've met people like this, haven't you? They're in your workplace, they're in your neighborhood, they're in your family. You see, these five men, the guy on the stretcher and the four friends who carried him, were determined to get close to Jesus at all costs. They were not about to let a full house, a sold-out event, if you will, keep them from the Savior. And so they cut a hole in their neighbor's roof. How about that? You see, I have a theory. We will pay almost any price and do almost anything to get close to those people and those things that we value the most in the world. Here's an illustration. My grandson Sam, 9 going on 10, is playing on a hockey team. It's a regional team called Hometown. You know, when you're really into hockey, there aren't many breaks during the year. You're pretty much playing year-round. Last week, 2 weeks ago, they had a tournament in Chicago, then in Duluth, then in the Twin Cities, then out to the Dakotas. Okay, that's a commitment, right? That's a big commitment. You give up a lot to have your kid play hockey and to go all those places. But get this, there are six kids on his team who are from Texas. Now, in Texas, if you want to play hockey, it costs you about $10,000 a year per kid. We think hockey's expensive in Minnesota. In Texas, it's really expensive. Not only that, there aren't that many teams. And so these parents have a commitment to hockey. They want to get close to hockey, and they want to do anything it takes to be where their kids are going to grow and thrive in hockey. And so for four consecutive weekends, these six kids and their families have flown up from Texas so that their kids can play on this hockey team. How's that for a commitment? You see, we will find a way to get close to those people and those things that are important to us in life. Here's another illustration. What if you had cancer, and the best doctor in the world was at Mayo Clinic in Rochester, but there was just one problem. He was booked out for the next 2 years. What would you do to get close to that doctor? How would you cut a hole in the roof of Mayo Clinic so that you could be lowered down into his presence? Well, the truth is, you would invest any amount of time, money, humility, embarrassment, whatever it takes to get there and to get your healing. Isn't it true? We'll pay any price to get close to the people or the things that are important to us. I'm telling you today, don't let anyone or anything keep you from getting close to Jesus. He's the only one who can truly heal you. The Bible says, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. And cut a hole in somebody else's roof if you need to. Here's the third gospel takeaway. Be a bringer and partner with others. Yes, friends, we have to passionately pursue Jesus if we want to be healed on the inside and the outside. But we're also told in the Bible to help carry others to Him so they can experience His love, His grace, His healing as well. The Bible says, freely you have received, now freely give. What good friends these four men were in our story. Just think of it. For carrying their paralyzed friend there that day, recognizing that the house was full, that they couldn't get in, but not wanting to miss that opportunity and being so committed that they found a way. Who's helping carry you right now? Who is it in your life that you can count on? Who's that friend that is praying for you? Who's that friend that's encouraging you? Who's that friend that's carrying you when the chips are down? I hope you have a friend like that. And who are you called to help carry? Is it somebody in your family right now? I bet the Lord just popped an image right into your head, the name of someone that needs you to help carry them into the presence of Jesus, to find a way. That's what prayer and intercession are all about. That's what Christian service is all about. It's about helping carry people into the presence of Jesus where they can be healed. Who are you helping carry today? A family member, a neighbor, a coworker, a classmate? I pray that God will put that name on your heart now and that He'll give you more boldness today to step out and help carry somebody to Jesus. You know, that's why in Luke 10, Jesus sent His disciples out two by two, because we're not only to help carry, we're to partner together as we do it. Who's got your back? Whose back do you have? Where have you been sent? These are the things that this story challenges us to consider. You see, you and I can't heal anyone. Do you all agree with me on that? You and I can't personally heal anyone. Our job is to carry people in a whole variety of ways to that place where they can meet Jesus and be touched by Him. So that might be your home. Weather's nice. There's somebody you need to invite over to cook some burgers out in your backyard and get to know a little better. I believe that hospitality, the gift of hospitality, is being reborn all across this state these days. Who could you invite to Sunday morning worship? I mean, we talk about this, but the reality is that most of us don't do it very often. Man, was this fantastic worship this morning? Is this a pretty decent message today? Get people here so that they can encounter Jesus. That's what it's about. And then we have these prayer ministers up front on Sunday mornings, right? Jan Adams and her team do such a great job. They're here to minister the way Jesus did, to walk with you, to discern what that deeper need might be, to pray with you and for you, and not just for a few minutes, but to continue praying. Take advantage of that. I mean, it's about coffee time. It's about small groups and classes. It's about retreats and mission trips. And it's about special events like the one coming up on Friday night at U.S. Bank Stadium. 50,000 people. And we hope that many of them are going to encounter for the first time a living God who loves them to death. And we're also each going to receive a free MyPillow, and we're going to set a world record for the biggest pillow fight ever. It's true. Sound like fun? You're going to see it up on the screen here in a little bit. But you see, God calls us to be bringers, to invite people to come into His presence and be healed. I have to just share a couple of quick things with you where I experienced that this week. One of them was on Thursday, May 3rd at the National Day of Prayer event at the Capitol. You all know that I've been involved in that for many years. And this year, beautiful day, of course, but we had, I think, about 40 state senators come out for prayer and about 40 representatives from our legislature. And they were each prayed for separately. But here was the cool thing. We gave them, we passed the mic, which is a dangerous thing to do with politicians. We passed the mic and we asked them, give us your name and tell us who you represent. And they each rattled off the major cities or counties that they represent. And as they did that, I just felt an anointing from heaven. It was like every time they spoke out the names of these cities or these counties, I just pictured God dropping a blessing. First here, and then there, and then there, and all over the state. And it really gave a tremendous feel to this notion of a national day of prayer, but also a day of prayer when we lift up Minnesota and we bless Minnesota. Wonderful, wonderful time at the Capitol. Then Friday night, Colleen and I were blessed to attend the Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge Gala, they call it, at the Minneapolis Hilton. Now, you know, every year we have the Teen Challenge Choir come, about 40 people, and sing and share their testimonies. It was like that on steroids. There were 1,500 people there. And the choir spread across the whole front of this huge room, 350 people currently in treatment, all in one choir. 350 clients of MNTC. And the testimonies that were shared were powerful. And then the keynote speaker was P.J. Fleck, the head football coach for the Minnesota Golden Gophers. And I'm telling you, did he hit it out of the park. He talked about Nehemiah returning to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls around the city and how everybody told him, you'll never do it. You'll never do it. Come down from that wall. But he wouldn't come down. He talked about how when he did start to build the wall, then people wanted to lavish praise on him and distract him with their praise. And he turned to those 350 people behind him and he said, you are all Nehemiahs. And no matter what the world tells you, don't come down from the wall. It was a powerful, powerful moment. But you see, when we are able to get around people who are on fire for the Lord, and we are able to bring them to places where they can encounter the presence of God, amazing things happen. And I saw it in both of those events this week, and we're going to see it on Friday night in spades at U.S. Bank Stadium. Friends, God calls us to be bringers. I love that word. We can't do it all, but we can each bring someone. And I don't believe that Christ Church will ever fulfill our destiny until we all get refired with that passion to bring others, not only on Sunday mornings, but to all the places I've been describing. And then here's number four. Here's the number four gospel takeaway: be amazed and tell others. You see, when Jesus forgave this man, there was a lot of questioning going on, because they knew that only God could forgive sins. Was Jesus implying that he was God? Well, we know that he was. Kind of shook them up, though, that day. But when Jesus then said, okay, to prove to you that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins, I say to you, rise, take up your mat, and go home, that's when praise broke out. I mean, it says, this amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. And I can only imagine that even some of those hardened religious Pharisees found it impossible not to praise God based on what they saw and heard. So I want to ask you, are you amazed with Jesus? Are you so excited about him that you're willing to tell others about him and not just keep this good news to yourself? I want you to listen to the story right now of Kurt and Darcy Boyes and to catch their passion for God, but also their passion for one another and for the friends they have around who support them. Watch the screen. Did you notice that the focus wasn't on the cancer? It was on God, and it was on the relationship. And Darcy's words were, God healed me from the inside out. Why did Jesus say your sins are forgiven before he declared healing? That's it right there, Darcy. You had it. Let's review our gospel takeaways. Number one, recognize your need for healing and pursue it. I want to challenge you to pursue God for healing in body, soul, and spirit. Do whatever it takes to get close to Jesus. Don't let anyone distract you. Stay on that wall. Don't come down. Be a bringer and partner with others. We're in this together. And be amazed and tell others. As we conclude this story's series, it's been such a blessing, hasn't it? Because we've seen how God's story connects with our stories, and we all have one. Every one of you could have been up on that screen sharing your story. The point is that when that happens, now we have a story to share with the world, a personal one, a one that makes connections, that touches on real life and real people. So let's continue to share those stories with one another. Let's continue to make those connections, because the world around us is desperate for good news. Friends, God's healing is available to you today and every day. Receive it in Jesus' name, and then pass it along and be a blessing to someone else. Let's stand and pray together. Heavenly Father, I just thank you this morning that this book we call the Bible is really a storybook of your relationship with this world you created and everyone in it. And we've been so inspired by the stories that we've shared during this brief six-week series beginning on Easter Sunday. And we've been inspired by the testimonies of brothers and sisters in Christ here at Christ Church who've shared their story with such heartfelt transparency. We thank you for each one. And Lord, I pray that every person in this room would know this morning that wherever they're at right now, God knows, God understands, and God is at work in your story. And especially we declare today, God desires to heal us from the inside out. And if you've been carrying something perhaps for years, a hurt, a wound, a disappointment, a broken relationship, I speak peace and blessing over you right now in Jesus' name. I declare the power of God to release that stronghold, to set you free. I declare the words that Jesus spoke to that man, rise up, stand up, get up, take up your mat and go home and live life the way God intended it. Receive it, my friends, receive it. And know that there are people here to walk with you, to walk it out with you, to love you, to support you, to encourage you. And I invite us all to make a commitment today to open our eyes to see the needs of those around us and to be willing to carry others to Jesus. We can do it. With God's help, we can do it. So I bless you now in Jesus' name. Jesus, our amazing Lord and Savior, and our healer. Amen.